There is a mitzvah of chinach in the chumash ulamadat amos mez b'neichem. You have to teach your children even before bar mitzvah. You have to teach them all the dinim. There's a din of chinuch mid'rabbanon when the child is a gil chinuch, so the parents have to see to it, either the father or the parents. A question whether there's chinuch on the mother. The father has to see to it that the children fulfill the mitzvah on the level of their eyes. It's sufficient if the father tells the child that after you bar mitzvah, you have to put on tefillin, you have to sit in sukkah, you have to say kriya shema midrabbanon. He has to see to it that the child fulfills the mitzvahs even the katnusoi. Once he's a gir l'chinuch, there is a big machlokes harishonim whether the din of chinuch only applies to mitzvah sesei, or even applies to mitzvah lo sesei. Therefore, the rishonim are of the opinion that the child can eat chazer, and he can wear shatnas, and he can do all the averis he wants, but the father should tell him, but after bar mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat chazer. That's enough. that's a major machlokes of rishonim. So the Shulchan Aruch is machmer on that. And Hilchos Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch is machmer that chinuch applies both to mitzvah sesei and to mitzvah lo sesei. But that's only once a child is a gil chinuch. Before the child is a gil chinuch, so there's no din of chinuch at all. So in the beginning of Parsha Semor, we have the din also supposed to be a dai. Rashi in the opening comment quotes from the Gemara in Yevamos, beginning of Perek Cheresh, that Emma ve'amarta, Emma lakanim ve'amarta aleim, says the same thing twice. Why is it repeated? Emma ve'amarta means lahazik doyle malaktanim, that it's also to be mitami a koyin cotton, even when the baby is an infant. He doesn't even know what a koyin is. He doesn't know what a mace is. He's one day old. The kid was just born. You're not allowed to take the koyin into a cemetery. That's an isa derais. Even though chinuch, a mitzvah is only mid the rabbanon, chinuch to see to it that the child performs the mitzvahs. Chinuch and loisah says a machlekes harishonim whether bichlal there's a din even mid the rabbanon. Shulchan Aruch is machmer shim mem gimel, I think Shulchan Aruch is machmer. But lahachilo biyadayim, to take the child into a oil ames, is also min haTorah. But to feed the child treifas is also min haTorah, even if he's kodim shehigir lachinuch. This is a big machlek zarishonim. Does this have anything to do with chinuch? Is it totally unrelated? So there's a sefer Isa v'Heter that's quoted every page in Yeridah, the Isa v'Heter Ha'oruch by the Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi, not to be confused with the Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi that we're familiar with, the Shari Tshuva with Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina. That's the Ramban's cousin. That's one Rabbeinu Yoina. Then this is Rabbeinu Yoina that's quoted on every page in Yeridah, Isa v'Heter. So the Isa v'Heter writes an expression that the din also is supposed to be a dayim, is a branch, it's an extension of the din of chinuch. Usually chinuch only begins by a katan shehigir l'chinuch, and it's only by the rabbanon. And here it's a din min haTorah, and it even begins before he gave l'chinuch, before the child even understands anything. So it's based on that expression that appears in the Isa v'Heter of the Rabbeinu Yoina, that the Nadi Bihuda's son has a tshuva. Nadi Bihuda's son has some of the tshuvas in the Nadi Bihuda written by the son, by Rabbeinu Shmuel Landau. The father's name, Rabbi Cheska Landau, the Nadi Bihuda. And his son wrote several of the tshuvas. It has his name signed. And then there's a separate volume, Shadash Tshuva Shivas Tzion, that's all tshuvas of the son of the Nadi Bihuda. So in the Shivas Tzion, he has a tshuva where he thinks that based on this Rabbeinu Yoina, that there's only a din of chinuch by cotton. By a cherish of a shaita, there is no din of chinuch. A cotton will be someday, he'll become bar mitzvah, and it'll be mechuyev in mitzvah. So there's a din in our Torah, l'marat ha'mas ha'zbenechem, you have to tell a child, after you bar mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat chazer, and you're not allowed to wear shatnas. And mid the rabbanon, even before bar mitzvah, you have to train him to do the mitzvahs. And then min haTorah, even before that, even lo higel chinuch, you're not allowed to be machil b'yadayim treifas, you're not allowed to be metami the koyin be your dime. So the Shiva Sion writes, he thinks that's only by a cotton, that at least is going to, someday he'll become a bar chiyuva, unless he dies before bar mitzvah. Someday he'll probably become a bar chiyuva. So there's already a din achinuch now that it's also lachi, also it's supposed to be a dime. To feed him the treifas be a dime is also. But if you have a shaita, let's say you can tell, to have a way to tell that the child, you can tell right away the child is mongoloid or the child is autistic. They can tell at a very young age a child is autistic or a cherish of a shaita. So then there is no chiyuv chinuch hanachiyuv shebishaita. So according to the tshuva that Shibas Sion, there's no isur that's supposed to be adon. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he quotes the Shibas Sion and he disagrees. And he quotes a Rashba and Gittin. Rashba is a long paragraph, mamish like a needle in a haystack. And he quotes, there's one line in the Rashba, you would never think to look on that daf. That daf isn't talking about that daf is talking about an apotrop is being mafresh chumas and maises for the ketanim. He's not talking about us of supposed to be a dime at all. But and the Chasam Sofer didn't have a computer that he put in a search word and tells him where to find it. So he found this needle in a haystack. The Rashba in the middle of Gittin and a topic shalom min ha'inyan writes, and the din also is supposed to be adayim, even applies to a cheresh and a shaitan. So that's what the Chasam Sofer assumes like that.
Also, this supposed to be din chinuch. So why is it even for a tiny little baby?
This aspect of chinuch will have a negative effect on the child when he grows up later. Like Moshe Rabbeinu's mother, the Bas Para wanted to have one of the mitzvios nurse the baby because the baby was crying. And it didn't work, so she realized she has to get a Jewish mother. So the Gemara has the expression, the Rebbe Shlom didn't want Pesha Aser the Daber Mashchina. It's no good that he should be drinking milk from the Mitzriyos who eat Macholos Asuras. Because the Gemara says in Yuma, whatever the mother eats has an effect on the milk. If the mother ate carrots, so the baby's stool is going to be orange. If the mother ate cherries, the baby's stool is going to be red. Whatever the mother eats, so if the mother ate chaz, it goes into the milk and it goes into the baby. So if your baby is going to become an avi, if your baby is going to be a pesha, so the daber mashchina, so this will have a negative effect if he's going to nurse from a woman who's eating macholas asuras. So if he's not going to be a novi, so you just have to be careful not to feed him directly macholas asuras. It'll have a negative effect on the child. It's midin chinuch, a chelik of the din chinuch. And the Chasam Sofer disagrees. The Chasam Sofer agrees that there's no din of chinuch on a cherish in a shaita, but nonetheless, there's a din of asal is supposed to be yadai. The Gemara talks about shalol is supposed to be yadayim on macholos asuras that are deraisa. What about on a macholos asuras the rabbanon? Let's say there's some kind of non-kosher food. Let's say basa b'chol of the rabbana, chicken cooked in milk. So minatayra tete gomer. Well, the chicken has to be kosher chicken, and the vela is also minatayra. Let's say you have kosher chicken cooked in milk, and you want to feed it to a little infant, a tiny little baby who's 2 years old, doesn't understand anything about kashrus. Is there anything wrong with giving macholas asuras the rabbana? So the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Mem Gimel and Arachaim Hilchos Shabbos quotes some machlokes, the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rambam is the machmir that even by macholas asuras the rabbanon, there also even by isurim the rabbanon, it's also din also the supposed to be a day. And the Rashba thinks that it's against the Gemara. The Rashba thinks that the simple reading of the Gemara is that shalol the supposed to be a day only applies to a nisa derais. It doesn't apply to a nisa derabbanon. What about kitnias? Let's say you have a lot of candies, a lot of chocolates for Pesach that have kitnias mixed in. So if a child is a gila chinuch. So we assume that Dinam Chinuch doesn't only apply to Dinam Derais and Dinam Derabbanon, that Dinam Chinuch even applies to Minhagim. That's a Gemara in the middle of Gittin and Perek Hanizokim, where the Gemara talks about the Apotropos. Apotropos is supposed to be in charge of the Yisayimim's money, and he's supposed to see to it that he doesn't waste the money. So the Gemara says he's permitted and obligated to spend some money to buy them the Malulav and an Esrei. That both parents died, let's say. So the Apotropos, someone is taking care of their money. He's supposed to spend money to buy their children a lulav and an esrei, and to buy them hoshinus. Hoshinus, the Gemara says, for Hoshana Rabbah is only a minig. Machlokes in the Gemara Sukkah, where the clapping hoshinus is a minig or a takana de rabbanon. So we paskin that it's only a minig, and nonetheless, the Gemara seems to say l'choladeis. No machlokes that the apotropos has to see to it that they have hoshinus. So you see that there's chinuch even on minhogim. So that's when the katan is a gil lechinuch. What about if you have the baby who's lohi gil lechinuch? So if you have a child who can understand things and you explain to him, we're Ashkenazim and we don't eat kitnias. Okay? So if you explain to him what it's all about, he's a katan she gil lechinuch. So you shouldn't eat kitnias. What if he's a katan shalohi gil lechinuch? You have an iser, shaloh is supposed to be a dayim. Does it apply to minhagim? So Chacham Avadya has a tshuva where he shows that it's not, doesn't apply. The Sfardim eat kidneys all the time, but he has a tshuva even for Ashkenazim who don't eat kidneys, but to give it to a katan shodai gelachinuch, that doesn't pose a problem. Could be. It's room to distinguish. Could be that there is a difference. I don't know. Room to discuss.
What would be the correct procedure to give a cut on food on Yom Kippur? Even a cut in Shagil is one of the not 12 years old. Do you feed them directly or do you put it in front of them?
A cotton, the Mishnah says in Yuma that there is chinuch on fasting on Yom Kippur, but he has to be healthy enough to fast. So the Gemara, the Mishnah sounds like it says the Gemara is the biggest chumra comes to the following conclusion that 2 years before Bar Mitzvah or Bas Mitzvah, you should be mechanech the child to fast the whole day if they're up to it. And 2 years before, you should be mechanech them to fast half a day. And before that, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Yerushalmi that we shouldn't allow the children to fast at all because it can cause them to get sick. Yeah. So the Shabbos, let's say you have a little baby. You have a little baby, not a little baby, a child 6 years old, 7 years old, not such a baby. But you shouldn't allow them to fast at all, even tiny shores. So are we allowed to feed them via diet? Are we allowed to give the food to the baby? Isn't that the din also is supposed to be a dime, that you're not allowed to do that? So the Minhas Chinuch writes that Chiddush. He thinks that if the baby, if you won't feed the baby all day, the baby won't die. He'll be screaming, but the baby won't die. So he thinks that it's also is supposed to be a dime. You're not allowed to feed the baby. You put food in the refrigerator and you tell the child to go home and eat the food. That's not called Machila B'Yadai. You have to see to it that the child doesn't fast before the age of 8. But that's not called the safina lady adai. But the mamish to spoon feed the baby to put it in his mouth. The Minchas Chinuch thinks you're not allowed to do that. The Rabbein Tam and the Seif Ayosher lived a few centuries before the Minchas Chinuch. Write that there was some Hasidim who had such an einfal that you're not allowed to feed a baby, and he says that that's not correct. It's against the Gemara, because the Gemara says that you're allowed to bathe the babies on Yom Kippur. In the days of Gemara, you used to bathe the baby every single day. Shulchan Aruch says, "Bizman is that we don't do that." The Mechaber lived in the Tzfas in the 1500s, so he says the hygienic conditions were so much better than in the days of the Gemara, so it wasn't really necessary to bathe the baby every single day. So we don't do that anymore. But in the days of the Gemara, that they felt that it's absolutely essential, and that was a practice. They would bathe the baby every single day. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to bathe the baby on Yom Kippur. It's also supposed to be a dayim. So the Gemara says, Haina Ravisa, since this is considered necessary for the, at that time in the days of the Gemara, that was considered necessary for the good health of the baby, to bathe the baby every day. So that's permissible. There's no din of also supposed to be a dayim. So the same thing, let's say, to give a little baby has a cold and you have cough medicine. The little baby needs some kind of medication. And is lohi gilachinuch, and the medication that they have is treif. So there's no din of also that's supposed to be a dime. If that's what you normally give to a child who's sick, and to feed a baby on Yom Kippur, normal, you don't have a baby cry. And the baby is hungry, and he starts crying, so you give him a bottle, you give him some food. So we follow the Rabbein Tam. We're not machmer like that in Chaschina. Rabbein Tam makes fun of those Hasidim who thought up this chumr, that it's also that's supposed to be a dime.
Do all the Rishonim agree that Asher is supposed to be a dayim means things other than Tumah and Machalas Asuros?
Yeah, the Gemara has three psukim. One pasuk is Machalas Asuros, one pasuk is Tumah. I forgot the third pasuk.
Dam.
And the Gemara says it applies to all Isuri Torah. There is one opinion, the Torah, I think, holds that only these three are deraisa, the others are derabbanan. Let's usually assume not so. It's usually assumed that the simple reading of the Gemara said it's Arash Shoveh. If you would have only had one out of the three psukim, you would have thought that it doesn't apply to all cases. Now that you have all the three psukim, this is not the only pasuk. The Gemara points out at the beginning of Per Cheresh, you have three psukim. So if you have all the three, we assume that everything is deraisa in all cases. Even by Ribis, let's say, the parents died and they have an apotropos taking care of the money of the yisaimim. So the apotropos is going to lend the money beribis to another Jew. So that's a discussion in Poskim, that's an aspect of also the supposed to be a die. You're lending my money, you're the apotropos for my money. You're lending my money, beribis deraisa. So that's a violation of also the supposed to be a dying. Even though the cotton is a little infant, he's only 5 days old. It's also the supposed to be a dying. Yeah, Shabbos is a mochamedik. Shabbos is mochamedik. Even if it's not satin alevi adayim, to ask the child to do a malacha for me, for the father. If I ask someone else's child, that's a lower level of an iser. But if I ask my own child to do a malacha for me, that's an iser in the aseres adim. It's atavin chavitecha. That's mochamed than also the supposed to be adayim. That's considered an aspect of Mechal Shabbos. Dina Kakum. That's an Aseris Adibas, yeah. So the Torah says that Kohanim are not permitted to be Mitami L'Meisim unless it's one of the seven relatives. One of the seven relatives, then it's permissible and obligatory. The Pasuk says by the sister, if the sister dies, who was never married yet, Lo Yitama, he is to be Mitami to her. So that's, we spoke about the Machlek of Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva holds lo yitama is a chayva. It's a mitzvah to be metameh. It's a chiv. This is the marker for the mitzvah of kavod abrius. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees that he holds lo yitama means it's a rishus. It's permissible to attend the funeral, but it's not that he's obligated to. Tosfos on that daf and Satan daf gimel amar aleph. The Gemara has three psukim where there's machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel whether they're rishus or the chayva. The other pasuk is the other mahem tavoidu. When it says by the Eved Kenaini, if you have an Eved Kenaini, that's later in Vayikra, towards the end. The Eved Kenaini, the Elohim Tavoider, so Rabbi Kiva holds that it's a Chayva, Hamashachar Avdoi, Oiva Be'esei. It's not permissible to free an Eved Kenaini. Not talking about Eved Ribi, talking about Eved Kenaini. And Rabbi Shmuel says it's permissible, the Elohim Tavoider is a Rishus. If you want to hold on to the Eved Kenaini forever, you may, but there's no Aveira if you free him. And the third pasuk is the pasuk of Soita. That's why it's in Soita Dav Gimel Amen Al. Vavar Alav Ruach Kina, Ikina Yesishta. If the husband is suspicious, he's concerned that he thinks his wife is fooling around with someone else, so is there a chayva, Ikina Yesishta? It's a chayva, it's a mitzvah. He should be master his wife, make sure you don't hang out with so and so. You're not allowed to violate Laisinah, or is it only a reshus? So these three psukim is a machlekes Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel, where it's a rishus or a chayva. That's what Tosfos asks the kasha. The Gemara says in the end of Makkos that there are 613 mitzvahs. So according to Rabbi Kiva, just added on another three. You have 616. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you only have 610. You just subtract the three. Well, what's going to happen with the magical number of 613 mitzvahs? So the simple answer, that's what I said, the simple answer is, there must be some other three mitzvahs that Rabbi Akiva will delete, that Rabbi Shmuel will count. So that's famous. One of the Gedolim in Europe gave an Einfall that there's a machlekes, the Daf Yomi people are just finishing Perek HaTcheles now. So in the first Mishnah, Perek HaTcheles, there's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, and the Chachamim, whether putting tzitzis in all the four corners is one mitzvah or four mitzvahs. So Rabbi Shmuel says they're four mitzvahs. They just added three more mitzvahs. And the Chachamim hold that it's all one mitzvah. So the Pash, this is, the Leidig, the Ksav Sefer says that the Yad David writes like that. Yad David's inside writes like that. But those are the three mitzvahs that Rabbi Shmuel added on, the Rabbi Kiva deleted. So the Ksav Sefer, I think in the Hakdamah to his Chubas, quotes that from the Yad David, and he said that that's not correct. Let's say I have a house and I have 18 mezuzahs in my house. I'm a kaim 18 mitzvahs. In the minyan of mitzvahs, you only count mezuzah as one mitzvah. You don't count the mitzvah mezuzah to put a mezuzah in the bedroom and on the dining room and on the living room and on the den and on the kitchen and on the this room and the other room. It's one mitzvah to put a mezuzah. So the machlek zeh bishmal nachachamim is for the tzitzis in the four corners, I'm a akvim zeh zeh. It's all one mitzvah. So if you don't have enough strings for all four corners, why waste time? And even put in partial. There's no partial credit over here. It's ma'akim zeh zeh. Rabbi Shmuel holds that it's dalid mitzvah, that it's not counted as four mitzvahs to put it sits in the northeastern corner of the beged and the southeastern corner of the beged. It's the same mitzvah repeated four times. You have mekayim the mitzvah four times. If you have a four corner garment, you have tzitzis in one corner, so you have one mitzvah. If you have tzitzis in two corners, you have two mitzvahs. But he didn't mean to say it should be counted four times in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Minyan HaMitzvah only counted once. So that's what the Ksav Sefer makes fun. He said, that's a joke, what the Yad David says. But he just added, Rabbi Shmuel just added three more mitzvahs. He didn't add three mitzvahs. He just says the same mitzvah. You have schar, if you have tzitzis in one corner, it's not makom zezeh. That's machlekes. The lashon haMishnah is that Rabbi Shmuel, the Chacham hold arba'as a mitzvah achas, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that the dalad mitzvah. But it's not a machlekes whether it's one mitzvah or four mitzvahs. It's another way of saying whether makom zezeh or any makom zezeh. Because of that lashon and the Mishnah, that's why the Rambam writes that the dalad minah shebelulav makom zezeh. So therefore, he counts it as one mitzvah. Whenever you have shal yad and shal rosh, and not miakim zezeh, that's the Mishnah and Menachos there. If the person only has shal yad, he only has shal rosh, he puts on what he has. Ain't miakim zezeh. So the Rambam says that's a raya, that it's two distinct mitzvahs. Whenever it's miakim zezeh, it's one mitzvah. Whenever they miakim zezeh, then it's separate mitzvahs. That's the Rambam's claw. That's what the Rambam quotes the Mishnah in Perakat Trelis, that Trelis is not miakevis as alovan, and lovan is not miakevis at Trelis, machlekes at Tanaim. Rebbe's opinion is that the trelis is me'akevus as halovin. If you don't have trelis, you may as well not bother to put on tzitzis. And the Baal HaMor paskens like that. So the Baal HaMor never wore any tzitzis. Baal HaMor never wore. That's what the Ramban says. Shamanu in Perek Tamadlikin. Baal HaMor writes that the din is like Rebbe. And the Ramban writes there in the Mochamas. Shamanu, we heard about the Baal HaMor, that he never wore tzitzis. Because if you don't have trelis, you're not yet to the mitzvah. So why waste your time? So the Rambam paskins like the Chachamim, that Trelis is not Me'akevus as Alovan, and nonetheless he writes that Trelis and Lovan is one mitzvah. That's one of the kashas that Rabbeinu Daniel, Rabbi Daniel Hadayin from Baghdad, Rabbi Daniel HaBavli asked the Rambam's son. He had a correspondence with the Rambam's son, mainly on kashas that he had on Sefer HaMitzvahs. Once in a while he had a kash on something in the Mishnah Torah. There are more difficult Rambams in the Mishnah Torah than there are in the Sefer HaMitzvah, but that he didn't correspond with him on the Kashas and the Sefer HaMitzvah. He only corresponded mainly on the Sefer HaMitzvah. So that's one of the Kashas that he asked him. The Rambam himself writes, this is the rule, but the Rambam got it from this Loshon HaMishnah, Rabbi Shmuel HaChachamim, whether Arbosa Mitzvah Achas or the Dalad Mitzvah, that whenever it's Ma'akv Mzezeh, then we call it one Mitzvah. Whenever they Ma'akv Mzezeh, then we consider it two distinct Mitzvahs. Here by the tzitzis is not that it's two mitzvahs, you mekayim two separate, but it's not two mitzvahs in the minyan on mitzvahs. It's two separate mitzvahs because they're not me'akim zezeh. So that's what Rabbi Daniel HaBavli asked the kasha. So how come the Rambam counts trelis and lovan as one mitzvah? According to his rule, he should have counted it as two mitzvahs. So Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam says, no, you have to have a feeling to understand. Let's say, bechalitza. Bechalitza, we paskin that the rikika is not me'akevis, and the kriyas apsukim is not me'akevis. Only the chalitza sasandal is me'akev. So you count it as three different mitzvahs. One mitzvah to do chalitza, one mitzvah to do rikikim, one mitzvah to do the kriyas apsukim, because not me'akev zeh. No! It's a mitzvah of chalitza, the mitzvah of b'shleimus, and see if you do all three parts, the kriyas apsukim with the rikikim with the chalitza. And if you do the mitzvah shalom b'shleimus, so then you have partial credit, and you get a smaller piece of levyosim when you go to Olam Habo, when you go to Gan Eden, whatever. But it's not that there are three different mitzvahs. It's one mitzvah. There's a way to do the mitzvah b'shleimus, a way to do the mitzvah shalom b'shleimus. Shayad and shalrosh, there's room to say, they're not mi'akim zezeh. See, by chalitza, nobody says if you do rikike, it's enough. Or if you do kriyas habsukim, it's enough. The mitzvah is chalitza, that's for sure. And the question is whether everything is ma'akev, or the basic mitzvah can be fulfilled even without all of the details. So that's what we paskin, it'll be a mitzvah shalom b'shleimus. If you do the chalitza without the rikika by shal yad and shal rosh, Mishnah says if you have shal yad without shal rosh, you wear it. If you have shal rosh without shal yad, you wear it. It means that each one is a separate mitzvah. Here by chalitza, nobody says, if you don't have a leather shoe, so do the rikika and it's also good. Nobody says that. The ikka mitzvah is the chalitza sasandal with a leather shoe. And the mitzvah b'shleimus is do it like this, and the mitzvah shalom b'shleimus, we paskin, you are yet in the mitzvah shalom b'shleimus, even though you didn't do the rikiki, even though you didn't do the kriyas apsukim. In each case, you have to judge. Now they print the sefer in the back of the sefer mitzvahs. Years ago, it used to be printed separately. There's a sefer Maisa Nisim that has the whole correspondence between Rav Daniel HaBavli, the Dayan in Baghdad, and Rabbein Avram ben Arama. So Rav Soloveitchik, whenever he used to quote from that sefer, Mais and Nisim, he always would say, throw in a comment. He doesn't understand why they called it Mais and Nisim. He never saw any Nisim in the floors there. It's straight learning. They talk and learn. So the first page of the sefer, they tell you why it's called Mais and Nisim. It's paid for by Mr. Nisim. The one who paid for the publication of the book in the 1800s in Paris was a Sephardi by the name of Mr. Nisim. It's called Mais and Nisim. This is the Gluck building. Mr. Gluck paid for the building. So Mais and Nisim is paid for by Mr. Nisim. So the Torah says, Kohanim are not permitted to be metame l'meisim, except for the seven relatives, and we pass lo yitame, that it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be metame. What happened to the Yisr? What happened to the Yisr? What is it? Esed decha lo yisaseh. Is it esed decha lo yisaseh? The Gemara says, there's an essay. If a kohen is metame l'meisim, in addition to the lo yisaseh, Nevish le'itam abyamav, there's an essay, kedushim yil alaheyam. If a kohen shaves his payas, if anybody shaves their payas, they're over on a lab. If a kohen shaves his payas, in addition to the regular lab, the kohen is over on the loisai seviyas. They're over on the essay of kedushim yil alaheyam. That's the Gemara at the beginning of Yevamos. The Gemara says, ein essay decha loisai seviyas. So if a kohen is matam alameisim, in addition to the lab, le'itam abyamav, he's over on the essay also. What's over here? You mean here it's an exception to the rule, even though essay is usually never doichaloi sase the essay, but here the mitzvah sase lo yitama, the Torah makes an exception to the rule. It is doicha. Here it is doicha the loy sase the essay. So the fairish of pasuk, or maybe I should say that it's something different. So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosis and Brachas and Daf Chof. Rashi says that the koyin's permissibility to the metami to the seven relatives is hutra. When the prohibition of nefesh le'itam abiyama was given by the Torah, it says the lab doesn't apply to the seven relatives. The chlal is no isa. To the seven relatives is no isa. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. He says, no, that's not hutra. That's the chuya. The mitzvah of lo yitama is doicha de lo yisase v'yase. You have a different places in halacha. That's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, whether it's the chuya hutra. When was it? I think this past summer or last summer, the boys in the NCSY group learning in Eretz Yisrael went to visit Rav Moshe Weiss. So it was before Tisha B'Av. So he asked them, did they ever hear of the topic of Duchuya versus Hutra? So everybody heard. So he says, who knows where does it appear? So someone starts to say, Pikuach Nefesh. Whether Pikuach Nefesh is Mutad to be Mechal Shabbos Duchuya Hutra. He says, that's good, that's a Machlekes of Rishayim. Who knows something earlier than Rishayim in Gemara? So another person screams out, the Kohen be metame l'meisim. Yeah, that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Who knows earlier in the Gemara? So everybody said all the cases, but what it says in the Gemara. No one knew the original Gemara. The Gemara has a machlekes Amaroyim and Yuma Davob and a machlekes Hatanoim. Turns out to be a machlekes Hatanoim. Whether when you bring Korbanos, a Korban Shezmana Kavua, is Decha Tumah. It's Korban Tumah. So the Gemara has machlekes, but the Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. A Tumah Tuchuyah B'Tzibur. That's the original machlekes. Then whether the Kohen... The coin is metamita the krivim. That's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. The Rambam writes that the coin being metamita the mesim is duchuya, not hutra. The Rambam makes a fuss out of it. Duchuya, not hutra, like Tosfos. The Rambam agrees with Tosfos, and the Rambam says kama chamuri hi mitzvus avelus she nitches miponeha tumas koyhanim. The Rambam understands that it has to be duchuya. If it's hutra, it doesn't show how chomer the mitzvah of avelus is. Because the essay is Decha de Lois Essay. Lo Yitama is the mitzvah of Avelus. The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that Lo Yitama is a mitzvah for the kohen to be metame to demonstrate a nihug Avelus. He's mechalal, the Kedushas Kohuna, in order to show Kovod Ames. So included in this mitzvah, the Rambam writes the Feirish, based on the Gemara in Ela Megalchan, the last perik in Moikot. That based on this pasuk, we know that Avelus Yom Rishon is Derais. The Gemara says, all Avelus is only the Rabbanon. So the Rambam follows the Rif, who follows the Goinim, and the Mechaber Paskin is like that, at the end of Yeriday, that Avelus Yom Rishon is a Din Deraisa. The Pasuk only speaks about six relatives. Where do we get a seventh relative? We have the father, the mother, the brother, the sister, the son, and the daughter. Where did we come up with a ninth father? There's a seventh relative, the wife. Kim L'Sheira HaKor Avelus. So you could have read Kim L'Sheira called only relatives colon Le'imo Le'aviv Le'bno Le'bito Le'ochim and so on. Who says L'Sheira means the wife? You look in the Targum Unklis. Targum Unklis doesn't say L'Sheira means to the wife. Tag Mokhma says, Likariva di Kariv lay, to the close relatives, colon, imo li aviv. The Gemara says, Sherem in Sherez al ishtoi. Is that only Medirab? That's, what's that? That's Menatar, that's Medirabana. So the Rambam writes, the six relatives, the coin is Matami Menatara, and the wife is Medivre Seifrim. So that leaves you in the dark, because you can never tell when the Rambam writes, Medivre Seifrim means the rabbi said. Sometimes the rabbi said as a din deraisa, sometimes the rabbi said as a din derabbanan. So it's a little unclear. So the Kesa Mishnah understood the Rambam to mean Medivre Seifrim, that is deraisa. But it's not Pshutu Shal Mikra. So the Kesa Mishnah says, Baharaya, that it's not Pshutu Shal Mikra, because the Targum Onkelos says, Likirive. Targum Onkelos doesn't say Liitze. Targum Onkelos says, Likirive. So you see that Pshutu Shal Mikra, Kim Lishera Koravel of Kolin. This is not the first of the relatives. The Chumash only speaks about six relatives. And this is a drasha of the Torah Shabbal Peh, not Lefi Pshutu. And others understood the Ramam that he meant Midirei Servant, that it's only Midir Rabbanah. That the fact that a kohen is metamei leishta is only midir rabbanan. You had it, the Rambam know that it's only midir rabbanan. Also because of the Targum Onkelos. That's what the Kesa Mishnah says, because Targum Onkelos says like that. So the Rogatchava has in one place, he points out there is a machlekes hatanoim and yesh neichlin in the end of Chayrus, where the Abal Yerush is ishta, is a din derais or a din derabbanan. And there are a few nafkaminas, not too many. There are a few nafkaminas halacha lemaisa, where the Abal Yerush is ishta is deraisa derabbanan. How do we paskin halacha lemaisa? Is a machlekes the Rambam and the Raivin in Hilchas Ishus and repeated in Hilchas Nachlas. The Rambam holds that Abal Yerush is ishta is only midirabbanan, and the Raivin thinks that we should paskin Abal Yerush is ishta is a din deraisa. So the Rogatchava says that's the issue over here. A couple is married and the wife died. So they're not married anymore. So there's no more Baal. How can you say Baal Yerush is Ishtoi? Well, my father died. So even after he died, he's my father. But when a couple is married and the husband divorces the wife, they're not related anymore. So if the couple is married and the wife dies, so the wife is not related. So how can he yarshin his wife? He doesn't yarshin his former wife. So the Rambam paskin that Baal Yerush is Ishtoi is only the Rabbanon. So the Rambam l'shitasa had to say that Akoy Metame l'Ishtoi, after she died, has to be Midirabbanan. It's his former wife. He's no longer related to her. That's how the Rogatchava thinks. That the Rambam meant Midirei Seifrim, the claim is Matami Lishta, Midirei Seifrim means Midirabbanan. He didn't mean Minatar. The Kesa Mishnah seems to have understood that it means Torah Shebal Peh.
The Rambam characterized her as a
Mesmetzvah. The Rambam gives an explanation. He says, what do you mean? But if the claim is not allowed to be Matami Minatar, so how can you change the din? So the Rambam says the Chachamim treat her as if she were a meis mitzvah. It means a meis mitzvah means it's going to be a bizoyin a meis. No one's going to bury the meis. So what if everyone will attend the funeral except for the husband? It's a busha. The husband doesn't attend. Husband is going to go around with the sign, I am a kohen. But her father is a kohen. The father did attend, and her brother's a kohen, and her sons are kohanim. Let's say she was a kohen, is married a kohen. So her father attends, her brothers attend, her children attend the funeral. Her husband doesn't attend. He's going to wear a sign, I'm a kohen, but I'm no longer married to her because my wife, I go give her whole teretz. So the Rambam says, they treat the husband as if the wife were a meis mitzvah. It'll be a bizoyin to the meis if he won't attend the funeral. So the simple reading of the Rambam sounds like he means it's only midirabbanan, that the kohen is metame to the wife. And we have a rule, en koach v'yar chachamim, how can the Chacham have authority to change the dinim a little bit? They have authority to tell us not to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and not to shake a lulav when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, not to bring a Korban Pesach if you were just Megayer and Erev Pesach, not to fulfill mitzvahs, not to put on tzitzis and a beged shel pishta, to be mevatel a mitzvah, but not ain't koach Chacham lakadom and ator bikum v'yasei, to allow people to violate bikum v'yasei. So the Rambam sounds like he's coming to Farem for the Kasha. How can they authorize, how can they allow the husband to be mentami to his wife? It's enko achlaka b'kum b'aseh. So he says, asu chachamim kemeis mitzvah. Sounds like he means that it's only midirabbanan. If it's Torah Shebal Peh, so what does he have to give an explanation for? So the simple reading of the Rambam is that he meant like the Rogatchava, that it's only midirabbanan. Not that it's Torah Shebal Peh. But you have other places where the Rambam writes divrei seifrim. A lot of places. The word divrei seifim in the Rambam is vague. Sometimes it means midirabbana, sometimes it means Torah Shebal Peh. The Rambam writes that kiddushei kesef is midivrei seifim. The way we practice today, give a ring to the girl, say hariat mukodeshesli, shove a kesef, dina ki kesef. So the whole institution of kiddushei kesef is divrei seifim. So there were those who misunderstood the Rambam. They thought the Rambam means that it's only midirabbana. So the kesef Mishnah has a long essay, and he says no, the Rambam meant that it's Torah Shebal Peh. He didn't mean to say that it's midirabbana. Rabbi Gorin's famous tshuva, ho'och v'ho'achos, there was a whole political scandal in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Gorin, there was a shaila, a woman was married, and she went and she remarried, and she had children from the second husband. Shaila is whether the children are mamzer, so the children should be mamzer. So the Rabbi Nut paskin that they're mamzer. So Rabbi Gorin at that time was the chief rabbi. So he said, no, that the first husband wasn't Jewish. Why was the first husband not Jewish? He was Nizgayer, no? So he was Nizgayer, so he's Jewish. He converted, but he never kept any mitzvahs. So the whole Geiris was a fraud, so she was never an Eish Yisish in the first place. So that's why she was allowed to marry the second husband. So in the middle of his tshuva, part of one of the tzedorim l'hakel is that she was only an Eish Yisish, even if the first husband was Jewish, but she was only an Eish Yisish midirabbanan, because he was only mekadosh bekesef, and the Rambam says that kedusha kesef is only midirabbanan. So there are those who he was of course aware of the fact that the kesef mishnah says not so, but that was a tzad a snif lahakel that according to the Rambam it could be that the kedusha kesef is only midirabbanan. No, that's not the accepted pshat. Such a Rambam also in Hilchos Eidus, the Rambam writes that relatives are psulim laedus krovim apostle laedus. When our Torah only krovim from the father's side, krovim from the mother's side, are only possible eidus midibrei sofrim. So that's again an issue. What does he mean? Midibrei sofrim means midirabbanan, or he means Torah shebal peh. So the Kesef Mishnah writes the same arichas over there, over here, and the Shach and Choshe Mishpah quotes the whole Kesef Mishnah. The Rambam didn't mean to say that it's midirabbanan. The Rambam meant that it's Torah shebal peh. Midibrei sofrim, the sofrim are the rabbis. The rabbis told us this din. Without the rabbis, without the Torah Shabbat Pai, you look on the Chumash, you would think that relatives from the mother's side are kosher ladies. Now the rabbis told us that the apostle ladies men are Torah. The Beis Sefer means the Chachamim told us this. Could be a din men are Torah, could be a din men are Rabbanim. The Beis Sefer is a vague lotion in the Rambam. It's always problematic. So these are the seven relatives. Leitame bal b'yamav lehe chalo. So the Torah Shabbat Pai, the Torah Shebal Peh interprets, a kohen is metame to his wife, kim l'sher is metame to his wife, but if the wife, what if the kohen is married to a grusha? So it's also metame to the wife. The kiddush and atopsin, he's married to the wife. So the pasuk says, even though the kohen is metame to his wife, but leitame b'al b'yama v'hei chalo, calls man that he's married to a grusha, it makes him temporarily into a chalo. A man is married to a grusha, he's not allowed to be makir karbanis on the mizbeach. Calls man that he's married to the grusha. So that's takep shat in the pasuk. Leitame bal b'yama v'hei chalo. Calls man that the kohen is married be'isa to the grusha zayin v'chalolo. So he's temporarily mechulo l'hei chalo. He's not allowed to be metame to the girl who is mechal on him. So the ravid has a pirush on the Torah's kohen. The ravid sounds like he understands that that's a din men ha-Torah. Usually when you learn b'chayris, the Mishnah is in b'chayris. So usually you learn that that's a knas midirabbanan. The Pashto says that that's a penalty midirabbanan. Any wise guy kohen who violates Isuri Kohuna, he's metame lemeisim, or he's married to, or he lives with a grusha zayin v'chalolo, or he shaves with a razor, he violates one of the dinim of Kohuna, Yisur Tusarotes. He violates one of the dinim that's miyuchat tekan mivna. Other people share the din also. But it's a kahuna dikadin as well. So midirabbanan, we don't permit him to be makir karbanis on the mizbeach until he divorces the wife and he promises, he takes a shvur that he's never going to violate again the dinim of kahuna. The Pashto says that it's only a din midirabbanan. We don't accept that ravid, but the ravid sounds like he really says it. Ravid understands that that's pshat and pasuk dalet, that there's a temporary chalolus on the kohen calls man that he's married to the woman, the iser.
How would the writer understand the that some that somebody is a chalal. The Gemara says maham schalo in maham chalayim schalo.
Probably means not permanently mechalo. It's only temporarily mechalo. The pashim shat in all of shas is not like this rider. It's a collector's item. It's a funny rider. Used to be we had a guest here in yeshiva for a year. Rabbi Lezer Shapiro. He was a nephew of Rabbi Avram Shapiro, the former chief rabbi. So Dr. Lamb invited him years ago that he should head the Yad Yom Kippur. He's quite a character. So he used to get under our skin. He would always say something absolutely ridiculous, and we would start screaming at him. He says, "Here it is, Beferish." He was always drop like he had a what do you call it, photographic memory, and he knew exactly where everything was. So he told us that Dinder Eisen, and said, "You're off your mind." Shows you right away they arrive it. He knew all these odd sheets. He was unbelievable. Pasuk continues, "V'kidashto ki eslech malakecha hu makriv." What does it mean, "V'kidashto"? So Rashi quotes a Gemara from Yevamos Daf Peches, "V'kidashto bal korchoi." If the kohen is in violation of this dinim, the kohen is married to a grusha zayin of a halala, you have to pressure him to get divorced. You have to beat him up. You have to force him to get divorced from his wife. "V'kidashto bal korchoi." If he's married to one of the women b'aver. Then the Gemara in Gittin, in the middle of in Perek HaShalech and Perek HaYemin Zokin, the Mishnah quotes Gittin is about the divorces. So in the middle of Gittin, the Gemara has certain takonis b'mpnei tikkun olam in the area of Hilchas Gerishin. That witness should sign on the get, Eichasim b'mpnei tikkun olam, and the husband should not be mevatel get shalom b'mpnei HaShaliach b'mpnei tikkun olam. So once the Mishnah has two or three Takanas min the Rabbanon in the area of Gittim in Bnei Tikkun Olam, so the Mishnah goes on and on and on and gives you many other. Prusbul is min Bnei Tikkun Olam. Prusbul has nothing to do with Maseches Gittim. It gives you other takanas that if you have an apartment building and they always used to leave the Erev for the building in this apartment, should continue to leave the Erev in that apartment, Bnei Tikkun Olam, all series of takanas. So one of the many takanas min Bnei Tikkun Olam is that the Kohen gets the first Aliyah, Bnei Tikkun Olam. What's the tikkun olam? If you don't get the first aliyah, he'll kill you. Well, what's the tikkun olam? So the Gemara explains, and then the Gemara says, what do you mean tikkun olam? Isn't it a din d'oraisa? It says, v'kidashtoi, you should be mechabed the kohen. Leftoach rishon, you should get the first aliyah. So the Gemara sounds like it says, you're right. V'kidashtoi is a din min haTorah. That you have to give the kohen the first aliyah, that's a din min d'oraisa. But min haTorah, the kohen can be moichel on his kovet. He can be mevater. But if 1 week he's going to be moichel. Let's say they tell him there's a bar mitzvah, and the kid is a kohen, there's a father, a grandfather, and a brother. Somebody aliyah. We need a lot of kohanim aliyahs today. So please do us. That's not a good example. So they let the kid get the kohen aliyah. Let's say they're not kohanim. They need all. They need kohen levi aliyahs also. They need all the aliyahs because there's an oifro for a bar mitzvah or something. So if the kohen will be moichel on his kavod that week. In the next week, Echreis, there are a couple of yortzeiten or something, so they want him to be moichel on his kavod. Saying, no, he doesn't want to be moichel. So then that'll cause friction. How come he was moichel on his kavod for them and he wasn't moichel on his kavod for me? So in Pnei Tikkun Olam, he made a takana that the kohen should never be moichel on his kavod. We don't allow him to be moichel on his kavod. But really, the din of Kidashta is a din min haTorah. You have to give the kohen the first aliyah, that's a din min haTorah. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. So it's a bit of a contradiction. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Peches says v'kidashta bal korchoi. Here the Gemara says v'kidashta, if he's moichel on his kavod, it's not bal korchoi. Yeah, but they're two different understandings. V'kidashta, you should force him to observe the Yisuri Kahuna. If he's married to a grusha, you have to force him to get divorced. V'kidashta means to be mechaber him. So two different levels of interpretation. It's a little strange. So that's why there's a famous Tosfos in Chulin on Daf Peches. The Gemara says there's a mitzvah kisei adam. Whenever you shecht chai v'yoif, when you shecht behemoth, there's no mitzvah kisei adam. When you shecht chai v'yoif, there's a mitzvah kisei adam. So who has the first crack at performing the mitzvah kisei adam? So the Gemara says, mishu shochat hu yichase. Shachat is dama, v'shafach is dama, v'chiso be'ofer, mishu shachat hu yechase. Whoever did the shchita, he has the right, he has the schus to perform the mitzvah. He wants to be mechabe someone else, and most of the poskim assume that he may. He doesn't have to dafke do the mitzvah himself, but he has the schus to do. What if someone shechts a chicken, and I run and I do the kisei adam? So the Gemara says, I stole a mitzvah from him, because he's really entitled to perform the mitzvah. The Gemara says, there's a penalty in the Rabbanah that you got to pay. You got to pay a lot of money because you stole the mitzvah from him. So the Tosis discusses a shaila that came up. The Gabbai called up someone for the first aliyah who was a kohen. Then a wise guy runs up. He's bechlal not a kohen. Wise guy runs up. He says Baruch Hashem Avara. And the people in the shul didn't realize that he wasn't the one. So they answered Baruch Hashem Avara. They went weiter, and they gave him the whole aliyah. And then it turns out that he stole the aliyah from the kohen because the Gabbai called up the kohen. So Taisus discusses, do you have to give, does the wise guy, the Ganef, who stole the aliyah, does he have to pay Azara Zuhuvim to the coin who was called up? The Gemara says, if they were Mechaber a coin to bench Mezuman, and then someone else stole it, so you have to pay money. So what about over here? So if this Taisus says, you don't have to pay. So they give a few reasons. So one of the reasons they give is that the only time you have to pay Azara Zuhuvim is if he stole a mitzvah min HaTorah. If the fellow was entitled to this mitzvah min HaTorah, but here the kohen getting the first aliyah is only entitled midirabbanan. This rosh v'kidashtoi, the v'toyach rishon to get the first aliyah is only midirabbanan. Min HaTorah, the real meaning v'kidashtoi is bal korchoi, dafenu. If he's married to the grusha, dafenu, you push him that he should get divorced. This v'kidashtoi, to be mechabed the kohen to get the first aliyah is only an asmachta midirabbanan. It certainly doesn't sound so in the Gemara in Perakan Zokin. The Gemara said, "Bikidash the giving the first aliyah is the raisa, and the rabbanon is that he shouldn't be moichel on his cover because it's going to cause friction." Simple reading of the Gemara is not so. So Tosfos says, "No, but the Gemara said Bikidashta is mid the raisa who means that's an older din. That's before kavodah. That's before darkei shalom. That's an older din that has an asmacht and chumish, but it's not a real din the raisa." That's a famous Tosfos in Chulin on Daf Piches. Being the first speaker at a Torah function, probably yes. The Gemara's lashon is stand on line. People are waiting to buy in the cafeteria to buy food. It says, "Vikdashtai b'chol davish b'kedusha leftach rishon levarach rishon v'litam bana yafar rishon," means when they're dividing lechem upon him, so the kohen gadol gets the first litam bana yafar rishon. But the divrei chol, I don't think so. When they used to have the meetings of the rabbanim, so the Chavetz Chaim always used to be the first speaker. And either Chavetz Chaim or the Yor Sameach, he was also a kohen. And then Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was a Levi, he went second. And then the Yisraelim went third. It used to be Mechabed the kohenim to speak first.
Is that only because all was equal then? If you have one very prominent Talmud Chacham against one not so, so we should let the
Medina de Gemara. Medina de Gemara, the Talmud Chacham gets the first aliyah. If the kohen is not learning, so Medina the Gemara, Rav Kari B'Kahani, Rav is not a kohen, and he always took the first aliyah. Rav Kari B'Kahani, we don't do that anymore. How come? So that was introduced the Takonas Hagoyim, because it's going to cause friction. Not everybody will recognize that he's much bigger than him. Not everybody will recognize that. They say the Vilna Gaon used to take the first aliyah on Leil Simchas Torah. Because the Takanas Agayinim didn't apply to Leil Simchas Torah because there was no Kriyas HaTorah. Leil Simchas Torah in the days of the Gaonim, the meaning to learn Kriyas HaTorah on the night of Simchas Torah was developed later. So he said the Minig Agayinim, the Takanas Agayinim only applies to the Kriyas HaTorah that existed during their time. But on Leil Simchas Torah, the Gaon used to take the first aliyah.
Benching first, and he has to pay, and he takes it away.
I don't know if everybody made up when Mechaber him that he should bench Mezuman, So he has the schus. The whole group decided. So then one wise guy says the benching. So he's stealing the mitzvah from him. So mean so if the gabbai called up a kohen, it should be loy gora from the benching. We all made up. We're going to give them. We appointed the gabbai to appoint. Yeah, I don't know. How can Taisus say that the right that the kohen gets the first aliyah is only midir rabbanon? Because that's not really pshat and mikidash. It's only an asmachta. So it should be loy gora. From the fact we all made up, he's going to bench Mizum, and then someone steals it from him. I don't know. There's something missing there in the Taisus. I don't know. The Magen Avraham has a Shailam. Yikar Adin, a cut meged an aliyah. The Mishnah says in Megillah that a coin is a cut and a zayla leminyan shiva. A cut and zayla leminyan shiva. So what if you have no coin who's after bar mitzvah? Can you give? Do you have to give the aliyah of coin to a coin who's a cut? So the Magen Avraham thinks that not, because it says v'kidash dekeslechem alakechu hu makriv. You have to be mechabed the coin because he's roi lahakrovas karbonas. A coin before bar mitzvah is not kosher lahakriv karbonas. Coin is only kosher lahakriv karbonas after his bar mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham says that there's no chiyuv kibud for a coin cotton. So the shaila is, what it says in the sifra v'kidash toi even applies to a coin balmum. Even though a coin balmum cannot be lechem alakechu hu makriv. So why should you distinguish between a kohen katan and a kohen balmum? Unless you say that a kohen balmum has a full kedushas kulunas, just that he has a paslos, then he can't be makriv karbonas. And a kohen katan has an incomplete kedushas kulunas until he becomes bar mitzvah. Questionable. So that's a discussion whether we accept that Magen Avraham or not. If the only kohen in shul is a kohen katan, are we supposed to give him the first aliyah or not? Normally we don't give an aliyah to a katan. That's a chumrah. They don't give an aliyah. Because Medina de Gemara, the Pashta says that you may give. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, HaKol Olam L'Minyan Shiva, the cotton can get an aliyah. Only L'Minyan Shiva, after the first Gimel Kruim, after the main Kriya Sater, is the first three aliyahs. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, and the Mishnah Torah, he doesn't write like that. Pirush HaMishnayos, he writes, the first three aliyahs he cannot give to a cotton. After the first three aliyahs, then the cotton is over L'Minyan Shiva, to be mashlim to the number of seven. But the first three aliyahs not. So that's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. They don't follow that. Mikra, then we assume you really can give even the first three aliyahs to a cotton also. The reason why we don't do it is because the Magen Avraham quotes a machlekes harishonim, what do you do bizman hazeh? That we have a practice that didn't exist bizman hatanam. You have a balkori lanes, and the oil of the Torah says the brachas. So bizman ha-mishneh, the cotton got the aliyah, and he said the brachas. Bizman hazeh, one person does the laning, and one person says the brachas. So what's the din? So some rishonim say the cotton can be oiler the minyan shiva, means he can get an aliyah to lane, but he can't say the brachas. Others say no, he can say the brachas, but he can't lane. So because somehow he can't lane, somehow he can't say the brachas. So we're machmer for both directions, so we're left with nothing. So the cotton can't do either. We don't allow the cotton to do either. Not to lane and not to say the brachas. So that's only a chumr. The coin could get the first aliyah. So that's a shaila. If the only coin in shul is a cotton, so maybe you mechuyif to give the aliyah to the cotton. And what do you mean? You're going to say, we have a chumr. How can you have a chumr against the real din? You should give the first aliyah to the coin cotton. So that's what Morgan Avram says, no. Bechidikidashtai is only because keslechem alakechu hu makriv. Calls man that he's not bar mitzvah. He's not kosher lahakrovas hakarbonis.
Why is it also to be mekamehim?
No, that kedushas kuna he does have. He doesn't have the full kedushas kuna for hakrovas karbonis. That he doesn't have. The balmum has a full kedushas kuna, but it has a paslus.
So Rabbi Kiva Eger disagree with the problem?
A few achrayim disagree. Yeah, because the sifra says beferish that the balmum there is a chiyav kidashta to be mechaberim. So some explain the Magen Avraham holds there's a difference between a cotton and a balmum. A balmum has a full kedushas kuna, and the kohen cotton has an incomplete kedushas kuna. Then kohen gadol, in addition to his grusha zayin v'chalol loy kachu, has also a prohibition not to marry an almana. Not only not to marry an almana, he has to marry dafka a besula. He cannot marry a ba'ula, even if she was never married. A kohen hedyot is permitted to marry a ba'ula, just can't marry a zayna. A zayna means Nivala lepasal apsala. The Rambam paskin. Nivala lepasal apsala. In the Gemara, there's a machlekes hatanaim. What's the definition of zayna? So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin, a woman is only considered a zayna. She's nivala lepasala. I mean, a woman was living with a nochri. She was nivala to a nochri, or to a mamzer, or to a cholol. Even though a woman is permitted to marry a cholol, it's het gomer. But if a woman is married to a living with a cholol, she's nivala lepasala psala. The Rambam holds she becomes a cholola. The Rambam holds she becomes a zayna. And the Beis Shmuel and Eben Ezra quotes that there are other Tanoim in the Gemara Yevamos who add on more women in the category of Zayna. And even though the Rambam doesn't quote it, other Rishonim paskin like that. Let's say there's a girl who's very promiscuous. Every week she's Mizana with someone else. So if one of the people she's Mizana with was a Goy, then she's Nivala L'Pasla P'Sala. Then she for sure is Zayna. What is she's very medactic. She's very medactic. All the boyfriends are boys. That every week there's someone else. So half of the Tanoim say Zayna Kipshuta. The girl is a Zayna. She's a prostitute. So she's Psula Lakuna. So the Rambam Paskin's not so. But because a few Rishonim are Machma, so the Beis Shmuel recommends that the Bnei Torah should be Machma for that. So the Kohen Gadol has this additional din. He's not allowed to marry an Almana.
Is an Anusa also considered a Zayna? Or
and anusa nensa by nochri, nensa by nochri. The Mishnah says is also a zayna. Nensa by Yisrael is not a zayna. Only those rishonim who pass like those tanoim that zayna kibshuta. That's only if she does on her own. She's mizana beratzin every week with someone else. Rav Shlomo Kluge has a tshuva in Hoelef L'chol Shlomo, the little sefer that has over 1,000 abridged tshuvas of Rav Shlomo Kluge. He had a grandson who was named after him, Rav Shlomo Kluge, who abridged Rav Shlomo Kluge's tshuva is usually very long. So the grandson did a sataiva, and he took out the one paragraph that was relevant to Halacha Lamaisa from 1,200 tshuvas in one little sefer, Elef L'chol Shlomo. So he has a short tshuva, that was abridged, I'm sure, from a longer tshuva, where he says, what if the girl who went to college, she was very careful, all of her boyfriends are boys, and one year she had one boyfriend, next year she had a different boyfriend, next year she had a different boyfriend. It wasn't every week she had a different boy, Mizana with a different boy. She was faithful all year long to one boy, and then the next year she was Mizana all the time with the same boy. So then he thinks, even according to the Rishonim who are Machmer, that that's also called a Zayna, but this is not a Zayna. It was for a long period of time. That was one boyfriend she was Mizana with. So even according to the Chumra of the Beis Shmuel, there's room to be Mekel there. We usually assume that the prohibition against marrying more than one wife is only a Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. True, the Mishnah says at the end of the second parak in Yevamos that it was very rare bizman ha-tanaim that someone would have two wives. We have dinner based on that assumption, and the Mishnah is at the end of the second parak in Yevamos. But strictly speaking, it's mutter to marry more than one wife. So the Rambam writes, but the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be married to two wives. So the Ravid writes, where did he get that from? That's a din on Yom Kippur. Chippa ba'ado ba'ad beis, the beis is a wish, don't only one bias. So the Gemara says, Isha acheres maskinim lo. Before Yom Kippur comes, they would have the Kohen Gadol marry another woman. So the Gemara says, marry another woman, just in case the first wife dies. The Gemara says, but he can't be married to two wives on Yom Kippur, that's not acceptable. So the Gemara says, he gives her a get. He gives her a get so he doesn't have a wife. The Gemara says, he gives her a get ala tanai. A whole complicated cheshbon the Gemara has. He's married to the first wife, and then he marries a second wife. In the event the first wife dies, he'll have another wife. But he does want to have two wives, so he gives his second wife a get alatai. All complicated story. So the Gemara says that Yom Kippur, he can't be married to two wives. But all year long, it doesn't say he can't have two wives. So the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. He says, that's only on Yom Kippur, you can't have two wives. All year long, it's okay. And it's a beferish pasuk in Divrei HaYamim, that there was a Kohen Gadol who had two wives. It says so, he married two wives. So on the bottom of the page, they write on that Ravid, they don't know what he's talking about. The Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim says, it doesn't say the Kohen Gadol married two wives. The Kohen Gadol read a shidduch to someone else. He married someone else off. He was a Masadik Kedushin for someone else to marry two wives. Vayasi. It doesn't say Vayisa, that he married two wives. So it's a Pele Dike Ravid. On the bottom of the page, they say they're not sure what the Ravid is driving at. So that's a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. Rambam says that all year long he's not allowed to marry two wives. And the Rabbi thinks it's only a din on Yom Kippur. No, Eide Yichud is not enough. Malkin, Mala Yichud, Ben Yosem, Mala Yichud. You don't even ask an Isha the Baila based on Yichud. No, you have to ask the woman herself. When people come to get married, so you have to give them a kid to Shulchan Aruch in English and tell them to read that page. You don't ask where you have a mezana with a guy. So you have to show them a kid to Shulchan Aruch, tell them to go home and study it. And decide on their own whether they're allowed to marry the kohen or not. I remember once when I went to Eretz Yisrael for the yeshiva, so the different yeshivas, they told me in advance what they want me to give a shiur on. Then in one yeshiva, they didn't notify me what I should give a shiur on. So they called me up and I was outside. They said, just give us a shiur on the last shaila that you had before you left America. So I said, you wouldn't want to hear a shiur about that. I said, that day, before I left Eretz Yisrael, somebody called me up on the phone. He says, hello, this is Rabbi Shecht. I say, yeah, he doesn't identify himself. So he says, he just got engaged to a girl. So I said, mazel tov, that's wonderful. So he said, that's what the shail is. But it's a mazel tov or not. He wants to know if he's allowed to marry the girl because the girl used to have non-Jewish boyfriends or something. So I said, she's only asur lakuna if she had bia with the goy. So he says, thank you very much. So he calls back 5 minutes later. He says, could I please describe what does it mean, bia? He has to know a full description. I gave him a description of beer. I said, okay, now it's a mazel tov. She never had beer. She never had tashmish. They did other things, but they didn't have tashmish. That's a machlekes, the Rambam and others in the Tosis Rid. The Sherev Shmaitz talks about it. The Rambam writes that Erech Anemim Yisurim, even to ascertain that a woman is a Zaina Grusha Chalolo. Erech Od is Nemon. That's Erech Anemim Yisurim. The Tosis Rid said it's against the Gemara. The Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Samafav Beferish. You have to have two Edim to say that a woman is a Zayna. The Rambam is a Pella. How does he give that to say a woman is a Zayna? That's a Beferish Gemara in Kiddushin. That you need two Edim. So the Stipler quotes the Machne Ephraim. Apparently the Rambam thinks that Gemara is talking about Yana HaMelech, Imon Ishbis Ben Moidin. Yana HaMelech was a question whether he was a Cholol or not, because the mother was a Shvuya. So the Gemara says, how many Edom said that the mother was a Shvuya? He said, there you're talking about a woman who's married to a Kohen. You want to say that she's a Zayna, she has to get divorced. So that the Rambam agrees, you need two Edom. But if the girl is single, and I want to say she's not allowed to marry a Kohen because she was already a Grusha. She was a Zayna from before. Now she's single. I just want to say she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So the Rambam thinks that's Eid Echad Nem and Bisurim. The Rambam apparently thinks that the definition of Davisha Bierva is to say that the woman is an Eishes Ish, or the woman is no longer an Eishes Ish, or that the woman who was married has to get divorced. To say that an Eishes Kain has to get divorced, that's a Dovish of the Erba. To determine marriage or not, to say that she has to get divorced to leave her husband. But to say that a single girl is a Zaina, is a Grusha, is a Halala, that she's not allowed to marry Kain. So the Rambam thinks that's a Erech and Nemen Bisur. And the Tosis Rid is quoted by the Shev Shmaitze. The simple reading in the Gemara is not so. Boshib Shat in the Gemara is whenever you are saying Chaloshem on a Gavra, that the person is a Cholol, Grusha Zayna, Cholol, or something like that, on a person, that's a Dovisha Bierva. The Torah says the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to even mimitami to the seven relatives, only a Meis Mitzvah is allowed to. Not allowed to mimitami to the seven relatives. So the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelus. When a relative dies, a Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelus. The Rambam writes against the Gemara. That's what they all ask. How does the Rambam write against the Gemara? The Rambam writes, Kohen Gadol observes Avelus like anybody else, but he's a little bit restricted. He's not allowed to attend the funeral. He's not allowed to be metamit to the Zayin Krevim. He's not allowed to follow the funeral procession, even if he's a block away. Okay. But the Rambam writes, Kohen Gadol observes regular Avelus. So they all ask, how does he say it's against the Gemara? The Gemara in the first daf in Perek Elam Megalchen says that Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelus. So the Imre Bino, there's a sefer in Yeridea called Imre Bino. There's a recent sefer called Imre Bino that was written in Eretz Yisrael around 80 years ago. That has long essays, but the Imre Bino in Yeridea just has comments on the Shach and on the Taz. The Imre Bino writes, perhaps the source of the Rambam is because the Mishnah in the second Perek in Sanhedrin, has all the dinim of Kohen Gadol. The aim of the Perek is Kohen Gadol. Has a dinim of Melech and a dinim of Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah says when the Kohen Gadol loses a relative, so the people come to be Menachem Avo, and they give them a Sudas Havra. So the fact that you're Menachem Avol, that doesn't prove that you have Nihug Avelus. There's no Avelus, no Egan Yontif, but there is Nicham Avelus. But the fact that you have Sudas Havra, so the Imre Bina thinks that's the proof. The fact that you have Sudas Havra, that's a Raya, that the Kohen Gadol is Noeg Avelus. It's a very shvera Raya, the Sudas Havra Chalamayit. It's a Mishnah, and Ela Megalchan, you have Sudas Havra Chalamayit. Even though there's no Neo Gavelis and Chalamayit. So how did he prove? So Pela Dike Rambam. The Rambam Paskins against the Gemara. The Gemara said Befeirish, that the Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelis. How did they know the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelis? So the way the Rambam understood the Gemara, the Rambam understood Lo Yitama Choyva, like Rabbi Akiva, Lo Yitama Choyva, and the mitzvah of being Mitame to the Zion Krovim is only on the Kohanim. On Levim and Yisraelim, the Rambam holds there is no such mitzvah. The Rabbi disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam holds Lo Yitam Achayva. The whole inyan of being Mechalo Kedusha, to be Metamit to the Mace, means to be Mechalo Kedusha Skuna out of Kavod HaMace. It's only meaningful, it's only significant, only has a value if you're a Kohen and you're Metamit, you Mechalo Kedusha Skuna, then it shows Kavod HaMace. If you're not a Kohen, you can go to any funeral you want. So it doesn't show any added Kavod HaBiyah. So the Rambam holds the mitzvah Lo Yitama. Being metamit to the mace only applies to the Kohanim. The Rabbi is masik. The Rabbi thinks a Gemara. The Rabbi thinks he has a Gemara that shows against the Rambam. So when the Rambam quotes Lo Yitama the mitzvah on the Kohen to be metamit to the mace, and he says included in this mitzvah is the whole mitzvah of Neog Avelus, because being metamit to the mace is kama chamura he mitzvah Avelus shenitches min paneho the iser of tumas Kohan. The Rambam holds that is duchuyah. That's the whole. The Kavod HaBriyos is to demonstrate that you mechal kedushas kunim. So if the pasuk says, if that's the whole marker for avelus, the pasuk says the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be metami to the Zayin Krovim, means that he doesn't observe avelus. If you do observe avelus, then you're metami. If you're not metami, means you're not being noeg avelus. So that's the marker where the Gemara got it from. The simple reading in the Pchumish is kol shakai metami loy. That's the brisa in the Perek Ela Megalchin. The relatives kol shakai metamelai misablim olav. Any relative who's mentioned in Chumash that the Kohen is mechuyev to be metame, so in any other case, not a Kohen, so the relatives have to be misabel. Any relative whom the Kohen is not misabel olav, so there's no avelus minatur, then hosifu v'hosifu. They added on more relatives, even a half brother and half sister, showing from the mother's side, they added on avelus more. But the original avelus deraisa, according to many Rishonim, well, the original Avelus, the Rabbanon, was only those that the Kohen is metametam. So if the Kohen Gadol is not metamet to any relatives, so the Gemara understood that what it means is that the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelus. The Gemara doesn't say that, though. The Gemara just says the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelus. The Gemara says because Kohen Gadol kol hashana kula ki yisrael baregel domi. Just like the Jews on regel, on Shabbos regolim, on Yontif, don't observe Avelus, so the Kohen Gadol all year long has the same din as yisrael baregel. What kind of an equation is that? They should have just said the pasuk says lo yitama by the kohen hedyot. Here it doesn't say here he's not allowed to be mitama. Not allowed to be mitama means that there is no avelus. What did the Gemara add on over here? Kohen gadol kol hashana kula ki yisrael baregel dami. Just like yisrael baregel doesn't observe avelus, because the Gemara says why? Because baregel is a chi of simcha. Simcha and avelus are atarti de sasri. Also, Yesed the Rabbim v'dochi Yesed the Yochid. The mitzvah Simchas HaRegel is an Yesed the Rabbim, and Avelus is an Yesed the Yochid. Ebel Yochid Asiloch. Also, Yesed the Rabbim v'dochi Yesed the Yochid. So the Gemara says that's the explanation why the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelus. What they need such a whole kavod? Well, what's the explanation? Why did they just say in the Chumash it's not mentioned? So Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole explanation. He thought that the Yisoid Hachiyav of Simcha is whenever a person is lifnei Hashem. V'smachtem lifnei Hashem alakechem. Many times you have such an expression in Chumash Dvarim. V'smachtem lifnei Hashem alakechem. Whenever a person is lifnei Hashem, then there's a mitzvah of simcha, as the pasuk says in Tilin. Hoy v'hod alafon avoyz v'chedvo b'imkoyman. There's always chedvo. When one is in the presence of the Baruch Shel Olam, there's always joy. The Gemara has a lashon in the first perek in Chagiga. Ein atzus lifnei hamokim. There's no sadness. Whenever you're in the presence of the Baruch Shel Olam, there isn't any sadness. because of that pasuk. So on regel, on shoulders regalim, there's a mitzvah to be oyla regel, even though the women don't have it. Yerod calls a churcha, the men, women don't have a chiyah. But since in principle there is such an idea, everyone should visit the Shechina, visit the Beis Hamikdash, so on regel it's considered that we're all of Nei Hashem. So the chiyah to be, even though bizman hazeh nobody goes to be oyla regel, but because there's an inyan, a chiyah to be lifnei Hashem, that's why there's a chiyah simcha. And Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we assume also that there's a chiyah simcha, because the Mishnah, Shagasari, has a discussion, is there a chiyah simcha in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur or not? So we assume that there is. We assume that Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, this is machlek satanai, we pass on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, also doich avelus. And being doich avelus is because the essay of simchas yontif. So we assume that there's a chiyav simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also. How can you say that the chiyav simcha comes from the chiyav aliyah l'regel, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there is no chiyav aliyah l'regel? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, there's a gemara in the third parak in Rosh Hashanah, that tkiya shofar all over the world, kevin de lizikaron kasi kelefnim domi. Since you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it's considered as if you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As if your mom is lifnei Hashem, then you get to the dinner. Then katega nasa sanegem. Then katega shofar shel para is no good. We're more machmer lifnei v'lifnim than anywhere else. And Rosh Hashanah, when you blow shofar, came to the zikaron kosi kilifnim tam is considered as if everybody is in the kodesh hakadosh. Well, so Lechik thought the chiyuv tkiyah shofar makes it that we're all considered lifnei Hashem. What's on Yom Kippur? So he said, well, Yom Kippur also the Rambam has in the Shmona Prokim a whole arichas on this topic. He quotes Psukim from Novi, Rakav and Esechem, Hoyam Avdilim Beinechem Levein Elakechem. When a person does sin, so the Averis are like a Choymas Barzal, like an iron curtain that separate between Avin Esechem Avdilim Beinechem Levein Elakechem. On Yom Kippur, there's a special Chiv to do tshuva, there's a Chiv to do tshuva all year long, but even more so, the Raman writes on Yom Kippur, so because there's a special Chiv to do tshuva, we should all return back to the state of being Lifnei Hashem. Once you remove the Averis, that Avdilim Beinechem Levein Elakechem, you revert back to be lifnei Hashem. So he thought that the chiyav simcha on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot of Hashanah Yom Kippur flows from the fact that one is supposed to be in the presence of the Rabban Shalom lifnei Hashem. So he said that's what the Gemara is explaining. Why does the Kain Gadol says in Chumash the Kain Gadol is not allowed to make matamit to the Zayin Kroivim because there's no avelus. Why not? Why is there no avelus? So he said because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Klei Hamikdash you have to appoint Kain Gadol. And the function of the Kohen Gadol is to be in the Beis Hamikdash all day long. Kvodav Sefarto, to be in the Beis Hamikdash all day long. Physically all day long is impossible. Can't be in the Beis Hamikdash all day long. He has to be married. He has to be with his wife sometimes. When he's a Balkari, he can't be in the Beis Hamikdash. He's going to be at Tful Yom, he can't be in the Beis Hamikdash. So he has to figure out how he's going to... He has to go to the bathroom also. He has to eat sometimes. He has to sit down. He can't stand all day long to be in the Beis Hamikdash. But as much as possible, the Kohen Gadol has a chiyuv to be in the Beis Hamikdash. So just like we have a chiyuv on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a chiyuv simcha that comes from the fact that we are supposed to be lifnei Hashem. So the Kohen Gadol, Kol Hashanah Kula, Ki Yisrael Baregel Dami, he has a chiyuv to be lifnei Hashem, and that's why he doesn't have avelus. The Gemara is interpreting the psukim. The reason why the pasuk says Kain Gadol is not metame because he has a chiyav simcha all year long. Kain Gadol has to have a chiyav simcha all day long, all chiyav to be lifnei Hashem, a chiyav simcha, so that's why he never has avelus. That's the Gemara. The Rambam says not so. Rambam writes that the Kain Gadol observes avelus like anybody else. That's problematic. It's against the Gemara. Then the Torah has the dinim of balmum. If a kohen is a balmum, he's not allowed to be makir of karbonis, and it's possible even b'di'evet. And if the korban is a mum, then you're not allowed to be makir of the korban, and the korban will also be possible afilu b'di'evet. The Mishnayos have long lists of mumim in the middle of Choris, Prokin, where they list off mumim by behemoth, and where they list the mumim by kohanim. And then the Mishnah says that a kohen who's a left-handed kohen is not allowed to be makir of karbonis. So Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat in Rashi is because a left-handed person is a balmum. Then he has the other pshat. No, a lefty is a balmum. How can it be a balmum? No, the avoida has to be done by a min. So that's why he can't do avoida, because he doesn't have a right hand. It has to be this side of the body and it has to be the stronger arm. If he'll do avoida with the right hand, it's not fully a min. A min means Yimin beruchas and yimin bekoyach. Has to be this side of the body. It has to be the stronger hand. But not that a lefty is a balmo. Rabbi Yilson always used to kibitz when he was dating. So he'd always talk. There's a Mishnah that a Gemara, a Brisa in Ksubis, that says that if a boy marries a girl, turns out that she has a mum. He wasn't aware of this mum, a major mum. So when he divorces her, he doesn't have to pay ksuba. Yotzi v'lo yitin ksuba. In one opinion of Gemara, Mikred, then he doesn't have to give a get. It's a kiddusha torts. The other opinion, no. But it says he doesn't have to pay any ksuba for sure. So which mum is considered a mum? So the Gemara has a brice in ksubas. Anything that's a mum by kohanim is a mum by a shidduch. So what if the boy didn't know the girl is a lefty? Then he discovers she's a lefty. He can divorce her without paying any ksuba. How can it be? It's a bal mum. The one pshat in Rashi. Very strange. When the Chumash lifts off the bumim by the behemoth, says if you have a korban that's a balmum, kol asher balmum lo sakriva. The Chumash lifts off all the bumim, so calls man that it has the mum lo sakriva. If it's a mum over and the mum goes away, then you can be makriv. That's the mashmos of the pasuk. Kol asher balmum calls man that has the mum lo sakriva. When it heals, then you may be makriv. So the Gemara, so the Tosfos Yishonim points out in Perek Shnei Sirei, towards the end of Maseches Yuma, there's the name of the Perek Shnei Sirei Yom Kippur. So the Gemara there talks about Dichui. There's a din in Karbonis. If you had a carbon that was kosher l'hakrove, and then something happened, the carbon became pasul, or the Mizbeach collapsed, or something happened, you're unable to be makar of the Karbonis, and then the Sibas Iha Hakrove goes away, and now you are able to be makar of the karbonis. So the Gemara says, sorry, since this carbon was unable to be korev because the mizbeach collapsed or because there was something wrong with the carbon, since there was a period of time that you weren't able to be makar of it, so you're never allowed to be makar of that carbon. So Tosis wants to know, where did the Tanaim get this idea from? Where is the makar chumish for the psul of dichui? Hol v'nitcha yidoche. So the Tosfos Yishonim printed on the bottom of the page in Yuma says this is the Mokka from here. The Pasuk says, Kol Ashepa Mum, Lo Sakriva. If it's a Mum Oiver, Kol Zman the Mum is there, you can't be Mokka. After the Mum goes away, then you can be Mokka. From Nashmoa says that it's only Bal Mum is like that. In all other cases, it wouldn't be so. If there was a Siba, why there's a cause, why you can't be Mokka of it temporarily, then the cause goes away, so then you can never be Mokka of it Lianavoid. This is the only exception to the rule by Balmum. So this is the mock of the whole institution of Dichoy. And that, Tosfos Yishonim said, this is the Machlokes Satanaim. What does it mean that Mum Oiver is the exception to the rule? Does it mean Mum Oiver is the one and only exception to the rule? Or does it mean, no, Mum Oiver is an exception to the rule because Balechayim ain't in the Dochim. That's how we paskin. That's a Machlokes Satanaim and a Machlokes Amaroim. And the Rambam paskins the Balechayim ain't in the Dochim. Whenever it's a live animal, there's no psul of dichui. The Rishonim have this discussion. Let's say you have an animal, and we have no mizbeach now, so you can't be makar of any kabbonis now. So even if they build the mizbeach, you have to wait till the new animal is born. You can't be makar of any animal that was alive before they built the mizbeach. Is dichui? It's a din of dichui. So the Rishonim say no. Dichui only begins after it's hugdash. If it's a behemas chulin. There's no psul of dichui. So that's a famous comment that's made by the Merkevus HaMishnah. Merkevus HaMishnah is several volumes, a commentary on the Rambam. Whenever there are problematic Rambams, so some of the Achrayim will stand on their head to give a whole pilpul on the Rambam. Merkevus HaMishnah always gives the most flat, bland, boring shot. And once in a while he's right. Once in a while he's right. A lot of times he's right. Okay. So the Makevus HaMishnah has a famous line. Menachem Zember, who sits and reads all the Makevus HaMishnah, has a lot of volumes. So Menachem Zember quoted this, and everybody quotes this Shalom B'Shem Amrei. They just quote the Makevus HaMishnah as if they read it in the original. Everybody got it from Menachem Zember. So Makevus HaMishnah says like this. The Gemara says in a few places. The Gemara says in Menachem Da Peches, I think the Gemara has, but a few places the Gemara says Sakin the Kaddish. When you shech the carbon, the sakin is mekadesh the behemoth. What do you mean sakin mekadesh? Tosfos has two opinions. The first Tosfos in the Zohar Mekayim, whether the sakin with which you shech karbonos has to have kedushas kli shoris. Half of the Rishonim hold you use a sakin shal chulin. So what does it mean sakin mekadosh? How can the sakin mekadosh? Means the avodas hashchita. Shchita is the first avodah. Shchita kabbalah halacha zrika the dalar avodas adam. That ilikuva haktoras emorim is not ma'akev. But the dalar avodas adam ala ma'akev. So the first avodas adam is the sakin. The shchita. So the shchita is mekadosh. What mean mekadosh? But you already said hareza shlomim. Hareza oila. Hareza chatos. I already made kedushas peh. It already is a carbon. What do you mean the sakin is mekadosh? So that's what the Markevus HaMishnah explains. There are three different levels. People make a mistake. They think there are only two levels. So there's one level. I set aside $300 to buy a carbon. So that's kedushas damim lamizbech. Then I take the money and I buy the animal. And I say this should be the shlomim. This should be the oilo. That's kedushas haguf lamizbech. And then when I do the avodah rishona, now it has kedushas carbon. Now it has kedushas hakrova. You have to invent a new term. The first two terms appear in the Gemara, Kedushas Damim Lamizbech and Kedushas Aguf Lamizbech. And the Gemara says, Sakin Mekadosh gives it a deeper level of Kedusha. So what's that deeper level of Kedusha? So you have to call it, invent a new term. It's Kedushas Korban, a Kodesh LaHakrova or something. So that's the Machlekes HaTanaim and the Machlekes HaMarayim, where the Balichayim Nidochim Anat. If there's a Psul of Dichoy, if the Mizbech fell apart, when I wasn't yet magdish the carbon. So psul of dicha is not chalam behemas chulet. That's a muskam l'chaladeus. That's the Tosfos Rishonim points that out. So what if I was magdish the carbon, but I didn't yet do the shechita? So it has kedushas haguf l'mizbech, but it doesn't yet have kedushas hakrovet. So we paskan balechaim einen lidochim. When the Chumash says that a balmum oiver is the exception to the rule, that you don't apply dicha on all other carbonas, but Balmum Oiver is an exception to the rule. So we pass on Allah. It's not only because Balmum Oiver is the exception to the rule. Balmum, it's alive. I didn't do the Shechita yet. So Kozman, you didn't do the Shechita. It doesn't yet have the full Kedushas Haguf. It only has Kedushas Haguf on Mizbeach. It doesn't have Kedushas Carbon yet. If you do the Shechita, the Avodah Rishonah, then has Kedushas Carbon. So only then can the Psulim of Dicha be Chal. That's a suggestion that some made. Rashi and Saita points out there's a long Tosefta in Saita. So Rashi and Saita points out, I think it's the first parak in Saita, that there are Dalar Avodas by Mincha that are parallel to the Dalar Avodas Adam. The Kemitza is parallel to the Shechita because it's Mevarech Hele Gavoya. You separate the Kemitz from the Shiraim and you've got to be Makta the Kemitz on the Mizbeach. So that's why Shechita is an Avodah. You mevarech el gavoy. You separate the dam that's going to be Nizrak from the rest of the animals. Shechita by Kochim is an Avodah. Not that you should kill the animal. You should be mevarech el gavoy. Then you do Kabbalah Sadam. So you take the Koimitz and you put it into a Klisharis. And then you do Hailocha Lamizbech. It's the same Hailocha. Then you do Haktore by the Koimitz. It's parallel to the Zrika Sadam. So the Dalar Avodah is by the Mincha, parallel to the Dalar Avodah Sadam. So that's what some had in Einfall, that just like by Balechayim Ein and Nidochim, before the Avodah Rishona, there's no Psul of Dichui, so maybe by a Mincha, it's not a live animal, it's not Balchai, it's a Mincha, maybe Mincha Kodim Kemitza should be like Balechayim. The way the Makeres HaMishnah said, that the Mincha, when you put it in the Klisharis, has a Kedusha Aguf Lamizbech. If you designate a sack of flour to bring a carbon mincha, it only has kedushas damim lamizbeach. When you put the mincha in a klisharis, it gets a kedushas aguf lamizbeach. But it still doesn't have the kedushas carbon until after you do the avodah rishona. So maybe a mincha kodim kmitza should be parallel to balechayim, just like balechayim made in the dochim. Maybe the same thing should apply to the mincha kodim kmitza. That's an einfach. You have to look. There's a ritva in the first parak in Kedushan, Dav Zayin, where the Gemara talks about Balachayim and Nidochim. So the ritva says something. It's a little bit unclear. You got to take a look. What does he say regarding the Dichoy by a Mincha? So the pasuk lists off all of these women. Some of the women have to do with the Eva Hazachrus, Umok v'chasus v'naksif nasuk v'charis l'sakriv l'Hashem. It's a balmum. Ubi artzachem lo isasu. So the Gemara Masech HaShabbos understands, ubi artzachem lo isasu, it's forbidden to castrate any animal anywhere in the world. Ubi artzachem doesn't only mean in Eretz Yisrael. And we paskin, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Tanoim, that it's even one of the mitzvahs of the Bnei Noach. It's not one of the Sheva mitzvahs. The Sheva mitzvahs Bnei Noach, they get the death penalty for violating. But the Gemara says that Sirus, even Bnei Noach Amuzer. And the Gemara says in Bav Metzia that it, you're not allowed to bring your behemoth to a Nochri that he should be Mesarisit for you. A lot of people have pets. So they bring the pet to the pet shop that they should be Mesarisit. So the Gemara says that that's an Iser, Lifne Iver, because the Ben Noach is Muzer al Asiris. You're not allowed to have him be Mesarisit. And if he was Mesarisit for you, there's a penalty with the Rabban, and you have to dispose of it. You have to give it to somebody else. And you can't give it to your son, the Gemara says. That's fake. You have to give it to someone else, not from the family. You're not allowed to be misaris a human being, you're not allowed to be misaris an animal. That's an isa deraisa. There's a discussion. And what about siris by females? Rama says one is misaris a female is ain't a loike. So that's a whole discussion. Ain't a loike means that it's only an isa derabana. Ain't a loike means no, it's an isa deraisa. But it's not pshutu shal mikra. The pshutu shal mikra is only talking about males. Omouch v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus are males, and females is only a drasha of the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's why it's ain't a loike. So many hold that it's a real isa deraisa. Even siris by nekeva would be an isa deraisa. If it's only the rabbanim, probably not. If it would be deraisa, should be included. I imagine so. Then Parshas Emor has a big section about the Yomim Tovim, Shalosh Regalim and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and it says three times El Miyad Hashem Shetikru Osam, and all three times the word Osam is Chasavav, it's missing Vav. Normally we spell Osam Alavav Tov Mem. Here all three times written Chasavav. So the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah has a drasha on the Mali and the Chaser. Hashetikru Atem, Atem Afilu Mutem, even if the Bezin made a mistake by declaring today as Rosh Chodesh. It should have really made yesterday Rosh Chodesh. It shouldn't make today Rosh Chodesh. They can't make a month with 60 days, or they can't make a month with 15 days, but they can make any given month either 29 days or 30 days. So that's how they really should have made it 29 days, and yesterday should have been Rosh Chodesh. By mistake, they declared today as Rosh Chodesh. So the din is Atem Afilu Mutem, even if they made a mistake. Then it says it twice. It says it three times. Why does it say it twice? The Rashi quotes from the Sifra. This already doesn't say in the Gemara. Once goes on Kiddush HaChodesh, and once goes on Ibar HaShana. So Rashi quotes the Sifra that the din of Atem Afilu Mutim even applies to Ibar HaShana. The Tzlach in the end of Brachas has a whole pilpul where he suggests, based on Gemaras, that maybe it doesn't apply to Ibar HaShana. Maybe Atem Afilu Mutim is restricted only to Kiddush HaChodesh. Maybe it does not apply to Ibar HaShana. So the Minchas Chinuch points out that you see from Rashi's quotation from the Toras Kohanim, at least the Toras Kohanim holds that it even applies to Ibar HaShana. The problem is there's a Gemara in the first Perek in Sanhedrin, and the Gemara sounds like it says it doesn't apply. That's what the Tzlach says based on the Gemara. So the Gemara sounds like it doesn't apply to Ibar HaShana. What's the Gemara? The Gemara has a machlekes whether, let's say, a Pesach Haba B'tumim, when Rosh Tzibur is Tumim. So we said there's a machlekes by the tumas hutra b'tzibra d'chuyi b'tzibra. Is it heta gomer, or is it because he tirata? You should try to avoid it. So let's say there was some disaster, and everybody had to be metame lemes, and there simply isn't enough time. It's the last day of Chodesh Adar, and there simply is not enough time in the next 2 weeks before Pesach to be metahir everybody. You have to have paraduma water. It's not going to happen. We can predict now that the Rav HaTzibur will be Tomei when it comes there at Pesach, time for HaKrovah's Karban Pesach. But if the Rav HaTzibur is Tomei, so you bring the Karban Pesach, the Tumah. So if Yal Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, so there's absolutely no need whatsoever to be Ma'aber Es HaShana. If Yal Tumah Duchuyah B'Tzibur, so then the Gemara says, there's maybe that's a tzorech. You want to avoid bringing the Karban Pesach, the Tumah. So the Gemara says, if they were ma'aber es hashana b'pnei hatuma, because they could predict that when it comes there of Pesach, Rav HaTzibur will be tamei, and Yol Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur says, mamash a mistake. It's Ibar HaShana for no good reason. So then the Gemara says, the whole Ibar HaShana is not chal. So that's the Gemara that the Tzlach points out in the end of the Tzlach is by the Nodi Behuda. So the last daf in Brachas, he points out from based on that Gemara. would appear that Tatam Afilu Mutim doesn't apply to Ibar Hashonim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. He thought that that's different. Because when you make Ibar Hashonim, you have to include the reason for the Ibar Hashonim. You say, we are Ma'abed Hashonim because of this and this reason. So if you incorporated a reason that's incorrect, so of course it's no good. If you just say, with the power vested in us as the Bez Nagal, we declare Shana Muberes, period. We had a whole cheshbon, why, in our mind. Tumah, the whole story, doesn't matter. But if you gave the psak, you didn't give any reason, so then the Shana will be Muberes. But we said, Shana Zuma Muberes Mepnei HaTumah, and it doesn't correspond, it's mamish a mistake. So then it's Mezuyef Mitoichet, and the whole psak is not valid. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. He thought that there's no contradiction between the Torah's Kahan and the Rashi quotes and the Gemara. There's a famous Rokeach on Chumash. The Bnei Yisoscha made it famous. Bnei Yisoscha is a sefer by a Chassidish Rebbe, Rav Hirsch Melech Dinever, who writes on the Yom Tov. The first half of the sefer is on Shabbat, the second half of the sefer is on the Yom Tov. So he quotes this from the Rokeach. After all, the Yom Tovim, so the Torah has, the next din is Hadlokas HaMenorah. Why did the Torah write Hadlokas HaMenorah right after the Yom Tovim? So he says it's a remez that there's going to come a Yantav of Chanukah, another Yantav. It's going to be a Yantav in the Rabbanah. But the Rabbanah Shalom put the din of Hadlokas HaMenorah in the Chumash right after the Yom Tovim. Al Shem HaAsid, it's going to be another Yantav. On Pesach, there's a special korban minchas sa'omer that has to be made dafke from sa'orim, from barley, which is Michael Behema, and it has to be dafke matzah, like any mincha has to be matzah. On Shavuos, you bring the shtei alechem, a special korban shtei alechem, which has to be from wheat, that's Michael Adam, and that has to be dafke chometz. So, I think the Baal HaTanya has a drosha. But Yontav is supposed to be the Yontav, Pesach is supposed to be the Yontav of Amunah. Because it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make Yetzias Mitzrayim in order that everyone should recognize that He is the God who rules over the whole world. And all of the Yikar HaMunah were demonstrated on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the whole purpose of Sipin Sivinsayim, the Matan Sapa B'yazdin Bincha, Bin, or Ben Bincha, Yisra Asher Salatim in Mitzrayim, the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to tell over V'yigadat Elevincha, all of the Yikar HaMunah. So when it comes to Emunah, a person shouldn't be so fluffy. He shouldn't have such fancy ideas. That's what the Baal HaTanya says. It should be Emunah Pshuta, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Behemus HaYisa Yitach, some kind of a lotion like that. That the person should have Emunah Pshuta and not have such fancy ideas. When it comes to Lima, it's a Pesach is the Yantav of Emunah. The Zohar says that Matzah is the Mechla de Mehamnusa. Matzah is the food of Emunah, because in matzah you have to be careful, it shouldn't rise, shouldn't be so developed, just matzah pshuta. The word matzah in Hebrew is an expression that means pshuta. Like the Rambam writes, you have hide that you didn't treat yet, you didn't make it into parchment, so that's called or matzah. Or matzah means it wasn't treated yet, it's plain. So Pesach is the Yantav of Amunah, so you have to have Michael Behema, and it should be matzah, it shouldn't be chametz. But on Shavuos, that's the Yantav of Talmud Torah. That's the Yantav we're supposed to learn Torah. Supposed to learn Torah with your brains. You're supposed to develop a lot and try to make it as sophisticated as possible. So that's why the Shtei Alechem should be dafke chametz, should be dafke Michael Odom. That's one of the drushas of the Baal HaTanya. I think the Ablevi Yitzchak Barditcheva has the same in his in the Kedusha Slevi. Apparently that's a common theme. The contrast between Pesach and Shavuot. Pesach is the Yantav of Amunah, should be Amunah Pshuta, and Shavuot is the Yantav of Liman HaTorah, should be something sophisticated and fancy. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. That will help.